In the box.
In the box.
In the box.
Hello everyone and welcome to In the Box. On this episode, we welcome Spencer Owen. He's going to tell us about his club, hashtag United. We will learn all about their short, but impressive and interesting journey to date.
We certainly will, Charlotte. Hashtag and not just an impressive football club within the grassroots landscape, they're also a one-of-a-kind esports club with many things to learn from what Spencer talks about for those of you listening.
But before that, let's go around our grounds and take a trip to find out what's been going on around leagues and clubs and the best bit of news that we've encountered.
So to start with, it's obviously been the Rainbow Laces campaign. Visibility raises awareness. Awareness leads to education, and education leads to understanding. So if you're listening to this now live of when we publish this episode, you still have until Sunday the 12th of December to get involved. But all of you across the landscape, it's been fantastic to see you get involved, sporting the laces, sporting the badges, and supporting a community that just wants to be heard. If you've not joined in yet, you can go to englandfootball.com now to download an asset pack to join the conversation.
And next up, you may well remember our Bobby Moore Award winner at the McDonald's Grassroots Awards. If not, go back and check out episode 9. We are so proud to find out that Sarah Griffiths has been announced as a BBC South Unsung Hero for 2021 for her amazing work with Summer Stars Football Club. She's done such an incredible job this year. She is on the shortlist. So when we watch Sports Personality of the Year this month, we will have our fingers firmly crossed that Sarah becomes a national winner once again.
So that was a short trip around the grounds. Now we're going to dive into the main bulk of the episode, the team talk with Spencer Owen from Hashtag United.
This is In the Box.
And we are absolutely delighted to now be joined by Spencer. Spencer, welcome to In the Box. First things first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your football journey so far?
Yeah, so great to be here. Thanks for having me, guys. My football journey, you know, isn't a football kind of performance background, if you like. Obviously, I've played football in my life, but never to any sort of exceptional level. Best I got was university third team, just put it in perspective. So, but I love football, obviously. And I actually almost accidentally found every job I've ever had post-uni was in football. So I started off working in a football computer game company. I was like in a social media role. And then I worked for a footballer, Vincent Kompany, when he was at Man City, in social media management for him and his own personal channels. And then I was also making videos this whole time, right? So I wanted to be originally back in the day, I wanted to be like a radio DJ. So I was doing hospital radio, uni radio, all that sort of stuff. And I made YouTube videos as well. But when I asked about 3 or 4 years of making videos and being that guy on Facebook, going, everyone watch my videos. And then all my mates just saying, look, stop. No one's watching them, mate. Eventually people started when it was about football, when I started concentrating on football. So found myself thinking, all right, well, why don't I just try and make a career out of this, because I love football and I never thought it was an option. You know, if you're not a player or a manager, you know, or a scout or an agent, what other options are there? But obviously now we know there's loads, right? Thanks to the internet. So football videos started to do really well. And then got a following on my own YouTube channel. So then I actually started filming me and my friends playing very average level of football once again. But because of that following, we got to do some crazy stuff. So like our third game ever, we called ourselves Hashtag United because we all worked in social media mostly, the lads that started the team. So we thought it actually was an existing seven-a-side team before we started filming. So it's almost like, you know, you get the seven-a-side silly names, like, you know, these comedy names. This is like our one, basically. And then we were like, well, this actually kind of works, so we'll keep it going. And then, but our third ever game that we filmed was at Wembley. Like, it's outrageous, right? So we started doing this crazy stuff, all thanks to YouTube support. And then fast forward quite a few years, we decided to try and make it a proper competitive team. And what that meant was me not playing anymore. A few of us stepping down as we were getting older anyway. And then we're in non-league and now we're in this wonderful non-league journey. But yeah, that's my kind of half shortened version of the story.
Yeah, I bet there's so much detail in there, Spencer. But let's go back to a little bit on that. And you say the third game for the club, Hashtag United, was at Wembley. What did that entail and how did that come about?
That's how it would work generally, is we'd get these opportunities, right, based on the amount of people watching our videos. So like brands or sponsors would come to us and say, look, we can help you do this, if you talk about this in your video, whatever. and it was Vauxhall. They had one of those Wembley days as an England partner, I believe. And they had their own Vauxhall 11, which I think was made up of like competition winners and people that worked at Vauxhall and stuff. And they invited us to be their opponents for the day. But obviously we filmed it and we put it all on our channel. So it was, yeah, me and my mates, literally boys who, you know, half of us weren't even in the school team. Do you know what I mean? Like, we weren't that special footballers, but we were still playing Sunday League and all that. Yeah, we got to play at Wembley. It was unbelievable. We went down there. It wasn't just, it was, who was down there? Peter Shilton was down there, weirdly, in like a, he was in like disguise. There was this thing that Boxer didn't tell us he was doing. He was dressed as a groundsman and he was constantly complaining, like deliberately, to all of us going, get off the pitch, all the subs, like, don't get on the pitch. Like, and we were like, bloody hell, this groundsman's a bit, you know, arse, isn't he? And then he took his mask off. It was Peter Shilton. We were like, what's going on here, guys? I think we played against Ray Parler and who else was on their team? Graham Lasso that day as well. That was a theme that continued. You know, we've been able to play against some unbelievable footballers way beyond, you know, our pay grade, if you like. But yeah, what a start to our hashtag journey.
What a start indeed. And you have founded Hashtag United and you've been on this incredible journey and recently a new exciting chapter as well with the youth setup, a merger. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. So once we've been going for a couple of years, the club, we thought, we know we've built a club here, especially once we got into non-league. You know, this is more than just a YouTube, you know, series. This is an actual football team we've made here. We've got this amazing fan base that watch us all over the world, but we need to put roots down. We need to be an actual thing in the community. My actual background as a football fan, if you like, is in non-league football. Like, my dad's been a physio in non-league since I was a kid, right? So at clubs local to me in Essex, like Brentwood Town and East Thurrock. So I've always been in and around that. And I've always loved the idea of getting back into non-league. So when we got into non-league, we were like, right, don't just want to be a men's senior team, because of course that's what the YouTube audience has come from, but football's way more than that. Personally, I'd been really inspired by my own experiences at youth football in this area, playing in and around a lot of these teams, you know, how much I loved that. And then also particularly in women's football as well, and the 2019 Women's World Cup and how well the England Lionesses did, but just generally seeing how people reacted to that. I think, no, football, you have to do it all. In my opinion now, football is not just about a men's senior team. It's about having option for every single person to play for your team, to support your team, everyone to feel included. So we actually had a meeting internally. We said, look, what do we want to stand for as a club? And what we decided, you know, we want to be on the right side of history. We want to be very inclusive. We want to be very representational. For me, that meant we had to expand. So whilst hashtag men's team had started genuinely, like, we entered non-league as our own team, but we didn't take anyone else's spot or merge with anyone else to do that. In order to then have a, you know, a meaningful women's setup and a youth setup that did our club justice, we did look at the merger option at that point. So I actually put a tweet out, and it's amazing because our women's team is really good, right? They're really good. Like, they're in the fourth tier. They're joint top of the league right now. They're doing exceptional things. And we merged them because I just put a tweet out. And that's not, you know, me saying about how, you know, great Twitter is necessarily. It's more saying, like, how many good teams there are out there that still lack support. It's actually quite sad because we, and I don't mean this to throw shade on any other clubs, but we beat Southend United's women's team 17-0 the other week. Now, that to me means there's way other big teams, way bigger than us in terms of their men's teams and their structure. They could be going out there and doing this sort of thing in women's football better than they are. And that's not a Southending, that's just general observation. So yeah, we found a team in Essex called AFC Basildon who were ranked the best team in Essex in terms of their league position. And we merged with them. They became hashtag United Women. And on the youth side, so our men's team manager, coaches and his son and daughter both play in a local team that was called Forest Glade. It was in the Billericay area. They're a really great setup. They had a 30-acre facility in Billericay. I'd played against them as a kid. I knew all about them. I'd played there. And it was in that catchment area of where we're starting to base our club now with regards to where we play. So it's kind of perfect. And there was a lot that was mutually beneficial to us merging. We wanted a youth setup. We have a huge youth audience, kids that want to play for hashtag. And they've been asking since day one, how can we play? We're under 9s, we're under 12s, we're under 16s, whatever. How can we play for you? And there was a setup overnight that we could cater to these guys. But then equally, they wanted to kick on. I think Forest Glade has had frustrations where they'd put some really good teams together over the years, but then some of the better teams and better players had moved on from the club because they wanted to go and play a high level, which in our area is EJA football, for example. You know, you can't do unless you're affiliated to a club that's in the sort of setup, non-league setup. So it's mutually beneficial. And we met with the guys. They were really, really interested in our idea. And yeah, basically our men's team manager helped put it together. Forest Glade became hashtag United. And now we've got over 500 players, 40, 45 teams, I think it is, somewhere around that number. Boys and girls, you know, from the youngest ages all the way through to senior football. We want to offer, you know, football for all, in the sense that anyone can play. And the reason I'm so, that's something the Forest Glade have always been great at, but the reason I'm so passionate about that is I never want us to get to a point where I couldn't play for our team, if you know what I mean? And if we're just elite, and if we're just, you know, trying to get the best players, then I couldn't play. There's no way I would have been in. And if I had never got to play football as a kid, I wouldn't have had the opportunities I've had later down the line, because that's where my love of the game started, right? So we have to be able to create, you know, as much as some people say this is a bad thing, allow for future Spencers, people to come through and make something out of football that isn't necessarily about being a player. And I think that's what hashtag's really great at. You know, we're trying to do that as well. We're trying to be good at football and have elite teams, if you like. But alongside that, you know, we've found players maybe that have got something about them. They haven't quite been able to make their place in the first team permanent. But we've employed them, for example, working on our media content or our esports side, which is our competitive gaming division. And these guys are huge parts of the club now. So we're really proud of that, is the opportunities we can offer. And we see our youth setup as actually a way of fostering that at an early age as well, and finding these talented young boys and girls that might actually become a massive part of the club on and off the pitch.
And you should be proud of it, because the stuff that you're doing there, like you say, Spencer, and it's the opportunity that everybody's got within their clubs and can certainly take them learnings from you, is that it's not just about the football, but if it is about the football, are you providing the elements for those that just want to turn up and play and have a bit of fun? There's those that want to play competitively, and there's those that want to obviously strive, thrive and progress on to being a non-league football player, whether that's within the women's or within the men's. And you're providing all that. And as a 3-star accredited club, which means you're providing more football for more people, that merger is something that you recognise and identify as something to be able to do, to have them roots down. And the opportunity is certainly out there for many other clubs. You don't have to go at it on their own. There might be somebody else in there, perhaps, that's already doing that and providing that. And the sense of a merge, it just speaks volumes and is the right thing to do, to be able to do that. And I know, obviously, yourself as a club now, you're doing some fantastic work around mental health within the game. But a disability section is something that you want to thrive to develop in the future to remain a 3-star accredited club. And again, it's that inclusivity element and provides even more depth and identity to the hashtag brand. And it is a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. I try not to use that word sometimes, because it's almost like a dirty word, isn't it? Because people think it means you can't do the other bit as well. You can't be a community sort of project at the same time. But yeah, we have got a really strong kind of brand identity, and that is part of it. You know, I think it's something that happened organically through YouTube in many ways, because a lot of the people that find themselves, certainly in the earlier years of YouTube, not just watching the videos, but sometimes making the videos as well, were people that maybe felt they weren't represented in some way. You know, that they weren't, for example, some of the massive genres of YouTube that have blown up over the years, gaming, for example, they didn't really have a place in the world before YouTube. It wasn't like there was a big gaming TV channel or place you could go and watch that sort of content. So these niches get really well catered for. And I think that's something that's important within football generally. You know, there's a lot of guys out there, and that I think they kind of tend to be drawn to our club in a way, because I think they feel like maybe we are a bit more welcoming, particularly in sometimes what's quite a scary, standoffish non-league world. When it comes to senior teams, we open our doors to everyone. And I think we've got to do that across the board. And it includes, you know, disability football, that includes walking football, that includes any kind of football. And that's something that I genuinely mean when I say it. Like, for me, football is football. Like, and you see some of these disparaging and negative comments about women's football still now, and you just think, no, if you love the game, there's so much you can enjoy from women's football. There's so much you can watch and get out of it. And I think as the world is developing, as times change, we're going to see more and more people have that point of view. And that's what I say about hashtag. We've got to be on the right side of history. We're going to follow that narrative, because I think that's the way football's going. So yeah, we've got to make sure anyone that wants to wear a hashtag shirt can do it. Doesn't matter how good they are, what their sort of level is, what their ability is. You know, if they've got any kind of football, whatever it is, we need to offer it. And that's something that's really high on our agenda.
That's really good to know. And I think you touch upon two really strong themes for clubs and leagues across the country. And that is identity and marketing. And sometimes they're perhaps on the back burner, or they're an area where there's a certain amount of expertise. And I just wanted to touch upon the fact that obviously Hashtag has a digital community. It has a digital presence that speaks for itself. But now you have these really visible and powerful roots in community. How important is it to kind of have both? And maybe for those wanting to build a synergy, perhaps they've done the digital part really well, and now they're looking to do the community, or perhaps it's the biggest frustration for me. There are so many amazing grassroots clubs doing so much, but no one seems to know about it. What kind of tips and advice would you give from what you have built with Hashtag?
Well, that's where I think we're a bit of a weird sort of anomaly. So I always say we kind of reverse engineered a football club, in that we built this kind of, for want of a better word, global entity, really. Like, there's people that genuinely support our club all over the world. We had a game on Saturday, our men's team game. We had a guy from Argentina, two guys from Florida there. I was like, why have you come in December? It's like -1 degree. Watched us lose 1-0. I almost feel bad for them. But they do it. It happens every week. They come to watch us. And so we've created this support structure around the world that is normally something that comes after a club's been around for 100 years. You know, I'm looking at the biggest clubs in the world, not saying that we're on their level, but to make a comparison, say an Arsenal, for example, they're in a local area, they're in a place, they've got amazing support. And then when the Premier League comes along and all the sort of globalization of football and television and whatnot, they suddenly get people wearing Arsenal shirts in Bangladesh and in Australia and in America, wherever. We've got people wearing Hashtag shirts in those countries now, I know, because I see the orders. But we didn't, until recently, have anyone necessarily, any more people in the local area wearing them than we're wearing them in Yeovil and wearing them in Scotland and wearing them in, you know, Jakarta, wherever. So how did we change that? And it's like, I get completely what, so it's a question we get a lot, right? How important is it to have a local thing, a local following? It's like, well, imagine saying, you know, to a big club, a massive club who have got these fans around the world, like imagine Arsenal thinking they didn't need a local community. Imagine Southend United thinking they didn't need local support because they've got some followers elsewhere. We've just got the followers in the other country already, but of course we need the local bit. We need the local bit for so many reasons. One, we can make a much bigger impact on those people's lives. You know, the people that are ultimately going to support us at games, the people that we're going to give those moments in time to, that, let's face it, we love watching the highlights on YouTube, but you can't beat being at the ground. That's never going to change. People that we can genuinely hire, you know, when it comes to our workforce, they're always going to be locally based. So we need that kind of place in time, or place in on the map, that we can say, this is where we are, and this is what we do. And that's something that's really important to us to grow. And we are doing that. We are growing that over time. And I think people can support, what's great about this club, people can genuinely support Hashtag from anywhere. We get those videos out really quickly. You know, we cover them to an extent that most people wouldn't cover, in terms of the team talks we show and behind the scenes. We're very transparent with the way the clubs run financially and all these things. But yeah, you have to do the local bit. And that's really important to us, not just on a experiential level, but on a business level. You've got to talk about sustainability of the club, right? You know, we've got some really good partners, and we have sort of commercial deals that are way beyond the level we're at, but we don't even do the basics yet. We don't even have our own ground, for example. We don't have... we don't get to keep any money generated through food and bar revenue on the day, which is a huge part of non-league football. That's something we've got to address. That's top of my agenda again, because we need to do that bit properly. And then the extra bits we do will start to have a bigger effect, because they won't be propping up the rest of the club, if you like. So we've started that. You know, we've got great teams at senior level. We've got great support from our youth structure, and they're coming to our senior games and mascots and all these things. We're trying to make a one club philosophy all the way from the bottom to the top. And once we have a place where people can truly say, I'm going to the Hashtag ground today, and we're going to go and watch the men or the women or the youth teams, that I think is going to be a massive thing for us.
It is, and it's so important, the identity that you've got. And you can see it, obviously, for episode 11, for those that haven't watched it or listened to it yet, we actually went down to the Forest Glade ground, where a lot of the Hashtag youth teams train, play and stuff. And the identity in terms of the kit, the colours, what all the volunteers are wearing, is you can see it right across all the pictures, which must be about 40 pictures down there. It's as far as the eyes can see. And that identity and that philosophy ring true. And when you say about the vision of sustainability, there's all types of different sustainability. And the way you're talking, Spencer, just rings true to what we're doing in terms of the club programme, consultants like Charlotte herself. There's different types of sustainability for different clubs. And like you said, for the first team, it might not necessarily to go up the pyramid as quick as you can, but it's about now, can we have a ground? Can we get that identity? Can we start to, the money that's generated through ticket sales, the bar, what have you, start to go back into hashtag, because then that goes back into the community. And when you said we, the we is really important, because we know grassroots football, and especially the youth teams and stuff like that, is run by a workforce of generally volunteers. And we got to speak to some fantastic people down there. How important is it for them volunteers to get the support of everybody around them, the likes of hashtag, the brand, because they do give up so much time and do some fantastic things, don't they?
Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable what these guys do. And I'm constantly, you know, amazed and humbled by how great these guys are. I'm not going to lie. Like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without them. You know, take away all the media side and all that side of what hashtag is. We're just like every other club. You completely rely on volunteers, whether it's match days, you know, across the youth division with obviously not just the managers and the coaches, but people working in the refreshments area, people helping, you know, the secretaries. We've got so many different teams in so many different leagues. We've got so many different secretaries. It's unbelievable how much work these guys have to do. And yeah, I mean, that is the lifeblood of any grassroots club. It's so important. And I love going, some of the stuff you described there, Tom, like the first time I went down to, so the area we've sort of, because it used to be called Forest Glade, we now call the club facility Forest Glade. So we wanted to keep that name going. So when I went down to Forest Glade for the first time since we merged with them, I actually was playing a game there myself, because we have a Sunday team and we're playing down there, and we try and get everyone, you know, using the site as much as possible. And I looked around me and I saw all these yellow and blue shirts, and it was a proper sort of pinch yourself moment. And I rang up some of my friends who started the team with me. I said, look, you need to come down on one of these Saturdays or Sundays and just look around, because it's pretty amazing. Like, we started this team less than 6 years ago. It's like January 2016, it's almost 6 years. And in that time, to go from, and obviously we've borrowed on the amazing work Forest Glade have done, that, you know, those teams wouldn't be there already if it wasn't for them. We're not taking away from that whatsoever. But the fact that they wanted to merge with us, for example, and the fact that we were able to do stuff like that, and you look around and you see, you know, any one time there could be 10 plus games going on with every home team wearing yellow and blue. And it's just like, all the YouTube views are great and the sponsorship deals are great, you know, and that's a huge part of the club. But as a football fan, as a lad who just loves watching, playing football, and you know, hopes that never changes. And now as a father, and it's not, hopefully not too long before my boy will be in one of these teams, looking around and seeing all these guys represent my club, it's just such a privilege for me. And it's literally, I think I mentioned to you previously, Tom, like if you'd asked me what I wanted to do with my life at 20, say, I would have said, look, I've got no idea professionally. I hope I find a nice job and I hope I enjoy it. But I know if I'm good at what I do and I'm successful, when I retire, I'll buy a football club. And I thought that would be, you know, sort of level we are now, maybe at absolute most, because I didn't think I was going to have the sort of money to, you know, buy a proper club, like a highest level, you know, professionally speaking. But I just wanted to have a non-league club, basically, because that's what I've grown up in. And it wouldn't even necessarily have been me. I might have been a volunteer myself at one. I might have been a secretary at a club, whatever. That's the only thing I knew I wanted to do. And I've managed to find this sort of loophole, if you like, where it's my kind of job now at a younger age than I would have anticipated. So when I see these things, I genuinely can't explain how happy it makes me. And that's the sustainability right there, is sustaining that offering, that feeling that we can do this for people every single week. All the other stuff will take care of itself. You know, the winning, the game, we have the right people around us. We all want to win. We're all very competitive. I don't need to strategize on that and plan too much for that. I just got to get the right people in place. And you'll have bad seasons, you'll have good seasons. I'm not naive enough to think that every single year is going to be a successful year for every single team. That's not possible in football. And if you think that, and if you expect that as a owner, chairman, whatever, founder, whatever you want to call yourself, you're going to be let down at some point. My strategy is more like, actually get enough teams so at some point someone's winning something every year. You know, I can go to an under 12s game, they're going to win the local Echo League or whatever. Someone's going to win something. So it's not about the winning though, is it? It's about offering that experience, you know, and that welcoming environment. That's the most important thing to me, because unfortunately you still do see a lot of instances, you know, of the opposite being true, and of clubs not being run the right way, or certain people being in positions of power that maybe shouldn't be. And that's something that we can never tolerate at our club. We want, you know, it comes back to what you said about the mental health stuff. And for example, how important our CWO team are to us. Like, you know, we obviously work hard to make sure there isn't too many issues there, but when there is issues, we take them super seriously. And we want to make sure, so much so that actually, and talk about a family club, So my mum is actually on the CWO team now. So my mum's obviously not a parent of anyone at the club. She's a parent of me and my brother who works at the club. But she's retired. And I said, look, we want to make the CWO team as effective as we can. We've got an amazing, amazing lady called Maxine Ford who heads it up, who's really, really well experienced professionally in that sort of area as well. But she needed support. We addressed it and we thought, well, how do we get support? What can we give you? It wasn't just my mum. We brought in 3 or 4 different people from around the club to support that. And it's one of them. It's like a thankless task sometimes, that part of football teams. I think they can almost become, if you don't give them the platform they deserve, they can almost become like the enemy to certain people in the club that are, oh, I've got to deal with this complaint again. And I said, no, if you're if the CWO is contacting you, it means there's something you need to pay attention to. And something that hasn't happened, you know, the best way it can be. So much so we want to give our CWO team an office down on the site so that someone can go and talk to them every single time there's a concern. They haven't got to send an email off, or they haven't got to and have someone manning that station every single day we're there, so that they can feel that presence. Because I look at the CWO team as like, you know, we need these guys. These are so important to us. And we need everyone to look at them like that, because that's how you create a welcoming atmosphere. And that's, you know, just as important to me as 3 points.
It's so refreshing and inspiring to hear a club owner, founder, speak the way that you do, Spencer, because sometimes success is too tunnel vision. It's about getting 3 points. It's about winning trophies. And I think the key ingredient of becoming a 3-star club, a 2-star club, a star club, an England accredited football club is know your offer and do it to the absolute best of your abilities. And I think you might have answered this question already in an answer previously, but I want to highlight it again, because I think there are so many people that will be listening to this, scribbling down notes, best practice, taking all the inspiration that they can. But what's the best thing about football for you, and how have you used that to improve #United?
Well, we all love football, you know, we all love the game and the sport of football, right? But why I think I'm in love with football to the extent that I am, because I like a lot of sports, but why I think that football is so special to me is because it's so big, right? Because it is the world's game and every country has a huge football fan base of some kind, then it's so much bigger than the sport itself. It's a way of learning about people. It's a way of learning about cultures. It's a way of learning about life, basically. So I take that from every sort of, every kind of interaction I've ever had with football. I mean, again, I am a great example of this. Someone that was never particularly good at a game, the game itself, but loved it, I've been able to create a career off the back of it. And that's because of how big the thing football is. I love going to World Cups, for example. I've been to quite a few. I spent the whole month in Russia for the last World Cup and watched all the England games. And as much as that was great seeing England do all right out there, what I really love about the World Cup is actually meeting all the other people from all the other continents and using football as a platform for me to grow as a person. So I think that can resonate however you look at it. And how I look at hashtag in regards to that, I heard a great, great quote recently. It was actually a quote from a TV show. But it was some advice a parent gave to the child. The child wanted to go traveling and see the world and all this. And the parents said, go deep, not wide. And it's basically, and that made me think about hashtag and said, you know, okay, we're quite wide in our scope right now. And that's great. And we need to be wide because that allows us to get the views and the sponsors and that. But I want us to go deep in the local area, because that's something that, because of our name, some people probably don't think we are, because we haven't got a place name in our name at the moment. It's a kind of this sort of thing that's in the ether doesn't actually exist anywhere. But people that know us know we are very much based in Essex, in England. But I am very deep in this area. I've lived in this area pretty much all my life. You know, all my friends and family are here. So why shouldn't our club be? And that's what I want to do. I want to go deep in the community. And I think football allows you to do that more than any other sport because of the sheer amount of people that love the game. And I think, you know, we all love football because we know how many other people love it, if that makes sense. Because you know when your team wins, so many other people know about that result and all these things. So I think we've got to apply that all the way through football clubs. And that for me is why I like hashtag and our project and what we're doing is I think we can have a real impact on people's lives. And that's why sport is so special to me, and football especially, because it's just so many lives that it touches. And I know there's so many people out there. All the raw ingredients are there to do whatever you want, you know, to make a massive impact. And whatever your ambition is in life, you can do it through football. You know, I used to almost, in certain circles in my life, I've sometimes, you know, England particularly, I've seen to be a certain way when it comes to football. And and football by many non-football fans is viewed a certain way as well. You know, it's almost viewed like this sort of you know, non-intellectual, like sometimes quite rough, particularly some of the stuff that we've seen during the Euros, and that affected me quite a lot when I was there watching some of that stuff happen. And I've almost, in my younger years, been a bit embarrassed to have a life that's so associated with football at times, because I've been like, oh, do people think they put you in a box? You know, he must be this kind of guy, like the jock at high school, which I definitely wasn't, by the way. I definitely wasn't the jock. I wasn't even allowed to play with the jocks half the time. I was that guy. But I now look at it very differently. I don't look at it as something that I should be embarrassed of. I look at it as a job of mine in football to find the people like myself that feel a certain way about the game, to then go and achieve things that are really positive in my area and across that. And I think football is just one of the best tools in the world to let you do that. Because I really can't think of many other things that have such a wide spread of how many people love it. But it's not like, you know, food. You know, everyone has to eat food. But people, football's like a religion to people. You know, it's something that they live and they wake up for and they go to bed thinking about. So if you can impact football, you can impact a lot of lives.
It is a religion, and that's why you see people across the world wearing a hashtag jersey and stuff like that, because it speaks one language regardless. It is that ball, and it breaks down the barriers and stuff like that. And I love the quote. It's so inspirational. And I think I'm going to finish with a quote myself, because I think it might be a little bit reflective of hashtag's journey, in sense of you won't be around that long. So if you want to go fast, you go alone. And that was that growth from hashtag getting to where it was. But if you want to go far, you go together, and that's exactly what you're doing now. You've got the team around you, you've got the youth set up, you've got the volunteers, you've got all the infrastructure, and I'm going to be extremely close to watching hashtag's journey, where you're going to go from here. And I know that all that information, all that content stuff that you just give there, Spencer, and loads of people are going to take so much from this, and it's going to give ammunition for me and Charlotte to actually, when we go and speak to other clubs and stuff, to say, have you listened to that episode with Spencer from Hashtag United? Because there is gold dust within that. So we can't thank you ever enough for joining us on this episode of the podcast.
Thanks very much, guys. Absolutely my pleasure. We definitely want to be able to reach out to more people and talk to other clubs as well. So yeah, if anyone listening to this that ever wants to come down to Hashtag, or, you know, just have a little chat about things, we're always very open to that. And just let us know you're coming, and we'll sit down and have a chat with anyone.
Superb, Spencer. Thanks ever so much again. We'll put all the links and everything to Hashtag United and stuff within the show notes, and that offer there, you read it yourself from Spencer right there. If you ever want to get yourself down, make sure you take up the opportunity.
I certainly will be. I'm coming down, Spencer, to find out more. And yeah, just thank you so much for the inspiration, the knowledge, and I think listeners will take away so, so much from this interview. So thank you very much.
This is In The Box.
Well, Charlotte, what an inspiring and influential person Spencer is, not just in the digital space, but obviously within the grassroots space with Hashtag United. I could listen to Spencer all day, and obviously lots of top tips in there. But Charlotte, I want to ask you, what's the best thing you heard or could take away as part of encouragement for those listening from what Spencer shared with us there?
I totally agree with you, Tom. Likewise, I find it fascinating. I was scribbling down notes. So many little nuggets and gems of advice, little one-liners that Spencer would drop in that I feel really reflect the grassroots landscape. They reflect all the work that we've been doing with England football and so on. But I think for me, the one real takeaway was, it doesn't matter if you're a 3-star club, a 2-star club, a 1-star accredited club, or perhaps you're a team that's aspiring to become England football accredited. Just do what you do really, really well and focus on that deliverable. Think of that player, think of that end user, so to speak, that's interacting with you and your football club, your football league and your football provision. And if you do that, then everything else will fall into place. It obviously takes a huge amount of hard work, dedication and so on. But I think that was the one lesson that I really took away, is don't worry necessarily about winning, losing or drawing. Think of that real principle that undermines what you do, and the rest will take care of itself and will ultimately bring success in one form or another.
Absolutely spot on, Charlotte. Obviously, Spencer, the club, really clear in their vision. And this interview with Spencer is just part of a wider piece. So go back and listen to episode 11 of In The Box, where we actually went and visited more key volunteers from Hashtag United. You've got Derek there, the co-chair, who started out at Forest Glade over 30 years ago, and it's part of the club that makes up Hashtag and all the people within it. Like you said there, Charlotte, very transparent. There's the offer there from Spencer that if anybody wants to have a conversation with them and learn from what they've done, they're very transparent in being able to support and share that across the network.
And it's about time to blow the full-time whistle on today's episode, but also on 2021. We have had a fantastic year bringing you episodes of In The Box. And while perhaps you enjoy a few weeks unwinding, you may even have a pause in play in your league and football season, we hope that you utilise the rest well. Perhaps you go back and watch some previous episodes of In The Box. But rest assured, Tom and I will be back in the new year, and we've got a very exciting 2022 ahead.
We certainly have. So during this period, make sure you go like, subscribe and share, because that really does help us get this content out there. But until then, eat, drink and be merry. Have a very merry Christmas, everyone. And me and Charlotte will see you again soon.
In the box.
In the box.
In the box.
In the box.